Well, a couple of weeks back, Governor Jay Nixon signed legislation authorizing Kansas City to establish a land bank to deal with vacant and abandoned properties. The law allows the land bank to acquire vacant properties and set them aside for rehab or resale so that they can be put back on the tax rolls. When he signed the bill, the governor said the land bank will be able to rehab vacant homes and turn deserted buildings into a viable asset for economic development. And the bill gives the city the ability to replace deterioration with innovation. Here to talk about the land bank and what it might mean for the city is Frank Alexander. He's the Sam Nunn Professor of Law at Emory University, where he serves as director of the Project on Affordable Housing and Community Development. Frank, it's nice to have you. Welcome to Kansas City.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Steve.
And also here is David Park. He's the director of Kansas City's Department of Neighborhood and Community Services. David, nice to have you too.
All right, thank you.
Good morning. Well, why is this land bank going to make a difference in Kansas City, Frank? Because we have more than 12,000 vacant homes around town. That's a whole lot of vacant houses.
That's precisely the reason, Steve, that Kansas City needs a land bank, is to be able to have a special purpose entity whose sole mission is to focus on the vacant, abandoned, deteriorated, and foreclosed housing stock.
And the land bank does what? How does it work?
The land bank works by being the entity that takes ownership legally and politically and morally for the property. What is happening now is this vacant and abandoned stock is privately held, is tax delinquent, or in the case of Kansas City, some of it is owned by the Jackson County Land Trust. The new Kansas City Land Bank will become the point entity responsible for demolishing, rehabbing, mowing, cleaning, and then getting that property back into productive use.
So everybody's going to know where to go.
As to all of the inventory held by the Kansas City Land Bank, you will have a single point of contact.
Yeah. David Park, how big a difference is this new land bank going to make? What's your gut telling you here?
Well, at the risk of setting expectations that are too high.
Go ahead, set them.
I think it's going to make a big difference. We've been operating with the Land Trust as being the entity that deals with tax foreclosed properties. Their structure in the state code was set up in 1943.
Wow.
It was really designed around the premise that all property has value. Somebody wants it. It's just a matter of once it goes through the tax foreclosure process, they sell it. It gets put back out into productive use, responsible hands, taxes get paid again, and everything's hunky-dory.
So under this new law, David, you'll be able to do what that you can't do now?
Well, the land bank will have its own revenue stream. It'll be able to generate revenue not just from the sale of properties, but for every property that it sells, for the first 3 years, it will collect the real estate property taxes that are paid for that as a revenue stream that will help it.
Are you starting out with zero money in the bank right now?
That's correct.
You got to get it going then.
We've got to get it going. We've got to generate some sales, one, to get the revenue from the sales as well as from the taxes that are generated after the sale.
And once that happens, then you can do what with the money?
Then we can use it to better maintain the properties that are in the inventory and develop some other programs like might lead to the programs for renovation of the houses in it, be in a better position to market the properties, have the staffing to fully assess the conditions of the properties and that's necessary for that marketing.
You know, there was a big fight, David, in the General Assembly to get this thing passed. You know, given the way you're describing this and how badly Kansas City needs it, why was there such a battle?
I'm not sure that there was really, I would have described it as a battle. I was down there talking to legislators. It passed, you know, by a wide margin in both the House.
Why didn't this pass 5 years ago, 10 years ago?
It's relatively new concept for Kansas City. I mean, working with the when HUD came out with the HERA, Housing Economic Recovery Act, that provided some funding for the establishment of land banks, kind of got the idea of land banks getting started in Kansas City. Then with the support of the Local Initiative Support Corporation, we were able to, one, bring Frank and others into Kansas City and help us figure out exactly what kind of legislation would work best for us, help us promote it. And it just, it was a more recent. This was our third time in the state legislature. The bill modified greatly from the first one that was introduced to make it really an improved bill,
right?
And something that I think that certainly the vast majority of the legislators supported.
You know, Frank, you have a national perspective here. How good a law do we have here in Missouri now?
I've described it, Steve, as a third-generation statute. Hmm. You have the very best of the statutes. In the past 4 years, I've been involved in drafting the legislation for New York, which signed it into law in July of 11, in Georgia, which passed it just 2 months ago, and now Missouri. Prior to that, I'd done the legislation for Michigan and Ohio, all within the past 10 years. But every time we do a bill in a legislature, we learn from our prior work.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all really do have cutting-edge legislation, creating a new tool for Kansas City, at least, to be able to address this inventory.
You know, you just heard David say this is a new tool for Kansas City, but it's certainly not a new tool across the country. How many land banks are set up across the country these days?
Depending upon what you're counting as land banks or land banking programs, my estimate is there are probably 200 across the country now. There's six with major legislation in the past decade to deal with vacant and abandoned properties. You're absolutely correct. The very first land bank in the country was over in St. Louis in the 1970s.
Really?
But the more recent ones have been in Michigan and Ohio, New York, and now Georgia. I've done similar work in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge and New Orleans.
I guess the big question then, Frank, is how big a difference are these land banks making? What are you seeing across the country when it comes to the difference they can make?
They can make an incredible difference. Just imagine a particular neighborhood which has had vacant, abandoned, partially burned residences for 2 or 5 or 10 years. Suddenly to have those dilapidated structures torn down and then the property made available for a brand new use, whether it's housing or green space or even a new retail facility.
Or even community gardens, right? Just looking at pictures in the book. Yeah.
Community gardens are a possible use for land bank property as well.
Mm-hmm.
The key for land banking operations is that the reuse of the property is always locally determined in a way that makes sense to that city, to that neighborhood.
Who determines it?
It's determined both by the local government that creates a land bank, in your case by the new board of commissioners that will be appointed to run this land bank, but in consultation with the neighborhood and with a real sense of what the market is like. Most of these properties are vacant and abandoned because there is no market demand for them, and they're highly fractured title with multiple mortgages or liens. So the goal is to be able to get ownership of that property and where there is demand to put it back into the open market, but always in a way that is consistent with the public priorities for the reuse.
Well, given what you're saying, that the neighborhood can sort of decide what the reuse is going to be, is there much success around the country of reselling these homes as homes, or are they generally speaking getting torn down and new uses being implemented going forward?
It all depends upon the jurisdiction. What works in Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, Ohio, is quite different than what works in my home community of Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, explain that to me. What's the difference?
The difference is that in Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, they've lost half their population. They have a gross oversupply of housing stock, just like in Flint, Michigan, and it's deteriorated. So the primary goal in a Flint or a Cuyahoga is to remove the excess inventory, the deteriorated property. And in the absence of demand for new housing, is simply to make it green space more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast, in Atlanta, we still have a strong housing market. And the land bank serves to take the property which the market can't buy because of tax liens or multiple investors that cannot be located, foreclosed REO,
mm-hmm.
and be able to get it into the land bank and then put it out to nonprofits or market developers to create either single-family residential or multifamily.
David, I get the impression that dealing with some of these homes, given what Frank is describing here is, you know, multiple owners, mortgages, all these kinds of legal things, might take a while. Or does land bank speed the whole process up?
It's going to take a while. I think the land bank speeds it up over what we would have been facing without the land bank.
Mm-hmm.
So it will speed it up. It has more authority provided by the state statute than the land trust, which would have been you know, our other option would have been to continue operating with that land trust.
Yeah. Well, given what Frank was just describing here is the differences between Cleveland and Atlanta, are we going to be more like Cleveland, Kansas City, or are we going to be more like Atlanta?
Well, Kansas City is fortunate enough to be very diverse across the country, very large city. So yeah. I think there'll be some parts of the city, maybe neighborhoods, that are going to be more like Cuyahoga County, and other parts
in
are going to be more like Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It will be, you know, what happens, as Frank indicated, you know, needs to have the neighborhood input, the community input, as to what, you know, they feel needs to happen in their neighborhood, the market for that neighborhood.
Yeah.
If there is a market for housing, then we're going to be more successful at you know, encouraging more housing. The presence of these abandoned and deteriorated buildings are there partly because there is no market or mm-hmm. a weak market, and then they further harm the market by being present. You know, so it's in some cases it's going to be a matter of needing to go in and strategically remove you know, maybe the oversupply for that particular neighborhood in order to strengthen the market enough to be able to save the remaining ones.
And in some cases, you'll actually rehab the home if you think there's a demand for it?
When there's a demand for it,
yeah.
The home needs to be rehabbed. Whether the land bank itself like hires contractors to go out, rehab it, and then put it on the market or not, it may be more likely that they would put them on the market kind of an as-is
mm-hmm.
and encourage community development corporations, private investors to acquire the property and then fix – and then they do the rehab on it.
Yeah.
The land bank would have some provisions, you know, often referred to as clawback provisions, to make sure that if we transfer the property to one of those developers, that if they don't carry out what they said they were going to do, then the property comes back to the land bank.
Well, if our listeners have questions about land banks and how all this is going to work, maybe how you can get involved in one of these councils that oversees the use of these land banks, you can give us a phone call right now. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address is up-to-date at kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page or tweet us at @KCUR Up to Date. Well, David, as I mentioned, there are 12,000 vacant homes around this town. How long is it going to take you to run through 12,000 homes and get all this squared away?
Years.
Years, yeah.
It's to be determined yet. We've got to look at what available resources there are. I mean, it's the city of Kansas City has really been providing the maintenance for the land trust properties and costing about $1.5 million a year. So some of the first initiative is to reduce that inventory, reduce expense of providing for that maintenance as opposed to just necessarily generating revenue.
And you'll do that how? By tearing down houses?
By demolishing the houses so that, you know, you have a vacant lot that can maybe be put into green space or something else.
Yeah.
In many cases, it will be transferring the property, the vacant lot, to the next-door neighbor who wants to expand their yard space.
And that's an option, too, in some cases.
Correct.
That's kind of a neat deal. Yeah.
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 Looking at some of the, you know, I've been following some of the examples of the other longer established land banks. I know the Genesee County Land Bank, which is at least Flint, Michigan,
yes.
Has a, you know, they run adopt-a-lot programs where, you know, if the neighbor maybe doesn't want to own the lot, but they'd like to put a garden on it or use it for some purpose, they can adopt it for a year at a time, and then they provide the maintenance for it. So while we're not generating revenue from it, we're saving on the expense. And similarly, they have some leasing programs where you can, if you want it for a longer than a year period, you can lease the lot for a longer period of time. That keeps it off the market. It's not going to get sold, but they get to enjoy the use of the property during that term of the lease. Again, it's not a revenue idea, but it saves on the cost of maintaining the properties.
Frank, those are some pretty innovative ideas.
That's what's fun, Steve, about land banking and the roughly a decade and a half, 2 decades that we've been experimenting with this across the country, is that in every city we see tremendously new creative ways of redeploying the property. The first goal is always to eliminate the property as a liability,
mm-hmm.
to remove the structure that is hazardous, dangerous, or the source of police and fire calls or a danger to the children.
Mm-hmm.
Simply removing the liability is a huge step forward. And then you begin to dream of how we can repurpose that property.
What's it cost to tear down one of those old houses? I'm sure it varies from lot to lot, but what's a rough number?
In Atlanta, the single-family detached demolition costs are probably about $6,000 to $7,000 for a single house. Not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
If the house has an asbestos in it, then the cost can go up to a $15,000 to $20,000. In Flint, Michigan, we were doing demos for about $2,500. A bulldozer could come in, take it down. It was largely deteriorated. And so wow. We could green that lot in a day.
Wow. Let's go to some phone calls here. Lots of folks have questions. Chris from Lenexa. Chris, good morning.
Hi. I was wondering whether or not you could actually, work with someone who owned one lot but had a neighboring lot that, was already torn down and had been turned to green, but the owner wasn't interested in selling. I had a friend who found an old apartment building that he was interested in buying down by, Truman Medical Center, and it was empty and boarded up because when the building was built in the 1920s, nobody had cars. So there was no parking lot. Everybody had to park on the street. And there's an empty beside him and beside that. And he tried to get the owner of the empty lot sell so that he could put the parking lot into the if he bought the building. And there was no interest whatsoever in doing that. The owner was holding on to the land.
David, you want to take that?
Sure. I think the land bank would be able to, provide some assistance with that in conjunction with other city code enforcement issues. On a case-by-case basis, we'd have to look, see if that owner is paying the property taxes on it, whether it's heading for a tax foreclosure sale. And then beyond that, if they're not maintaining the lot, and they typically don't, that's why I'm kind of assuming that the owner, while not interested in selling it, wasn't necessarily maintaining the lot very well. We can apply code enforcement pressure so that kind of increases his cost of holding on to that property. We do have too many vacant lots that are held by what I call the speculators. They pick it up cheap and they just sit on it. They'll maybe pay 1 year of taxes just enough to keep it out of the tax foreclosure sale. They're hoping somebody's going to want to come in and really pay them enough for them to make a nice profit for not really doing anything. We want to make that type of speculator, we want to make it very uncomfortable for them to carry out that type of business model in Kansas City.
Okay. Let's go to Alice from Kansas City, Missouri. Alice, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Kresge. My name is Alice Goodlow, and we have an established community land trust in Kansas City, and it's called Vinelanders Community Land Trust, and our effective date of exemption from the Internal Revenue was March 1st of 2010, and I had got an email from Mr. Parks through another agency letting them know that we have a community land trust in Kansas City, Missouri. But I haven't gotten acknowledgement. The city has not recognized the organization, and they have not reached out to us. I have a question. How can this community land trust, how can we obtain a listing for those properties just acquired from the land bank, and who is the contact person for them?
Frank, go ahead.
Your question is an excellent question because there's commonly confusion between land banks and land trusts. What you've described as Goodlow is presumably a 501c3 community land trust, which is different from the Jackson County Land Trust and different from the KC, the new KC Land Bank. There is a strong potential for an overlap, meaning property transfers from one to the other. But the basic purpose of a land bank is different than the basic purpose of a community land trust. The land bank in Kansas City has not yet been created. It will be that will require action by your city council to do so no earlier than the end of August. And at that point, the land bank will be created, be able to designate a key person, the staff of the land bank. And under your new state law, all of the inventory of the land bank must be publicly available. In most jurisdictions, the entire inventory is identified on the website.
All right. Alice, I hope that helps. Let's grab one more call here. Troy from Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome.
Hi. Hi. We're actively have been doing what you're talking about for two decades and have cleaned up multiple blocks of the city neighborhood here in Kansas City. Well, I have two questions. I'll get to the one that's the most aggravating. Is DART, back in the day when they would take properties and seize them upon drug, they'd come in and grab the drugs, grab the guns, grab the dealers. They would then go through the due process, and then oftentimes these houses, because they're in the hands of drug dealers who are sentenced to prison, were left to fall in disrepair. So then they were torn down. And then DART took responsibility or financial ownership of it through the state law, and they're charged with the duty of putting it up for auction, and the funds either go to law enforcement or the school.
Go quickly, well, Troy. I'm getting short of time here.
Okay. We have multiple lots around this, and I cannot get the county prosecutor to even list this property, and there's multiple illegal activities going on this lot, and we quit maintaining it after putting thousands of dollars into it.
Right.
How can I get somebody from DART to do just follow the law instead of acting criminally with their property so that we can clean it up?
David, what do you say?
I'm not familiar with the properties that are owned by the county prosecutor's office. I may be able to, maybe off the air or something, get it. Talk to this person, get the address, and be happy to look into it for him.
We'll try and get his phone number here from Troy before we go off the air. And just really quickly, what commission oversees all of this land banking? And how will it be formed?
The land bank is a board of five commissioners. One will be appointed by the Jackson County, one by the Kansas City, Missouri School District, and three will be appointed by the mayor of Kansas City.
And that hasn't happened yet.
No, not until that can't happen until after the ordinance is adopted and in effect.
All right. And that happens when?
That will happen probably during the month of September.
Okay. Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming in. Good conversation. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Great being here.
That's David Park. He's director of Kansas City's Department of Neighborhood and Community Service. Frank Alexander is a Sam Nunn Professor of Law at Emory University.